And all the people said, amen. And good to see you all here today. And boy, I have allergies so bad. When I use my voice very long, I didn't realize it until I was trying to sing there with you. And halfway through a verse, I'd lose my voice. But I'll be able to preach, don't worry. I have to get a shot of this. By the grace of God, I'll be able to preach. By the grace of God, I'm glad to be here with you today in more ways than one. And it's been a very busy time for me and my wife since I last been with you. It's been 2 or 3 weeks now, or about 3 weeks, I believe. And by the way, you open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll read something there while you're finding that. But anyway, I've not been preaching anywhere in the last couple of weeks except funerals. And things like that. It's just we had a lady in our church where we used to be pass away and did her funeral service. And then also this past week we had a grandson of one of the ladies in our church. And of course his family, he died very young. And so we've had a lot of busy time doing that kind of ministry. And a lot of people been in the hospital, a lot of things going on. And then Friday night we were right in the middle of the big tornado. We didn't get hit. Our house didn't get hit. It just kind of bounced over it. I was sitting on the back porch, and every time it lightning, I'd see the funnel clouds here and there. We didn't have any place to go, so we hunkered down in the put some pillows in the hallway of our house, sit down there, and said, "Well, I guess we'll just wait and see what happens." And we didn't realize until later that night somebody come by and said, "Brother Dale, tornado hit up there at the church." Black gum. And then we began to get some text messages. Electricity got knocked out. And it wasn't until the next morning, yesterday morning early, that I went up there and saw the complete devastation of that area. My goodness. And to find out that no one was injured, no one even got a scratch, I thought, how? Right there where Black Gum Baptist Church is, that tornado really set down right there. It didn't do any serious damage to the church. It blew the steeple off. It blew the doors on the west side open. And that's all. But the house next to it and the house across the road, gone. Just blowed away. And everything in that area just flattened. There would be one house there untouched. The one next to it be gone. And that's the way tornadoes are. But there was people in those houses most of when that happened. And didn't get a scratch. They crawl out of there, and a lot of devastation went all up through there. So you need to lift those people up and all over our state and those things in prayer. And I thought, that kind of played into what I want to preach and share with you today. We celebrate in December the time that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to be born and to come into this world. We celebrate the time that Jesus was born as a baby in this world. There are a lot of reasons why people don't celebrate. There are a lot of different reasons why people don't even think about it or they miss it. And I understand a lot of the distractions that go on all around us. So I've had a message that not only have I preached, I've heard a lot of other preachers use the same theme. The people that really miss the meaning of Christmas and what distracts them from that. That's what I want to share with you this morning, just that one message on the people who miss Christmas the first time and for the same reasons miss what it's all about today. I've always preached series of sermons on Christmas in December. I love Christmas time, folks. Now, I'm going to admit something to you. I do not have that little mystery solved in my mind for sure exactly when Jesus was born. There must be a good reason that God didn't give us a date on the calendar. I don't think we should get bent out of shape over something like that. And I've done all the study on why December 25th was chosen by certain people and not going to get into all of that. But there's a verse in Galatians chapter 4:4, and I'll just quote it partially to you. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, a man, to come into this earth and to give us redemption. I paraphrase that. That's why Jesus came. Evidently, it's not so important when He came. It's why He came
and who He is. And I always like to take time to remind folks, Jesus did not remain a little baby. He grew into a man, and He gave His life on Calvary to pay for the sins of the whole world. And only those who really have committed their life to Him personally can really celebrate when He came that first time. We know what Christmas, you know what Christmas is all about. And I have no criticism at all. Matter of fact, I enjoy all the trimmings of Christmas, the lights and the Christmas songs and all of that. I enjoy that. I'm not an old stick in the mud over that. That doesn't bother me. Everybody says, oh, they've commercialized Christmas so much. Yeah, my kids love it. And they always have and all of that because I know what Christmas really is. I know that. It's God sending forth His Son. We celebrate the coming of Jesus the first time because of why He came. He came to be a sacrifice for our sins, but so many people all around us miss that. They miss that. Why? That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 2. I'm almost through with the message, but now we'll read the text. In Luke chapter 2, begin with verse 1. And I can see it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge with my voice. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every man into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And verse 7 is the verse that I'll pick on more than any. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. No room for Jesus in this world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I bow in your presence today, Lord. You know everything about me better than I do. And Lord, I need your grace and your strength of voice this morning. And Father, I want to be used of you to lift up Jesus. Lord, I ask that I just be so sensitive to you that I just share those things that you would have me share that would glorify Jesus, but that would be a blessing to the people here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you that are in church today, you don't have to be told this. You understand this. Celebration of Christmas is to celebrate the time that God actually became a man. God became a little baby. That's who Jesus is in the flesh. So many people miss that. Born in very humble surroundings, the creator of the world, you would have thought he'd have been born in a palace and bugles would have been blowing. No. He fulfilled all of the scripture that the Old Testament said would come to pass. You know, the Bible said in the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15, that he would be the seed of a woman. I mean, that right there is a miraculous birth. And that he would come from a man named Abraham. He would be a Jew. He would be in the tribe of Judah. He would be in the family of David. He would even be born in that little town of Bethlehem. All of that was foretold in the Old Testament. It even said he would be despised and rejected of men and that they would even flee to Egypt. You would think that all of the Bible scholars of that day, they knew all of that. They did know all of that. But when Jesus actually came and fulfilled all of that at his birth, it went completely unnoticed by most of the world. Only a few little select group of people actually got the message, Mary and Joseph. They knew. And some old smelly shepherds out in the field, angels appeared to them. They came. A star appeared to some magi, the wise men who were way off in the east, and sometime later, not at the time that Jesus was actually born, but sometime later, they would make their way from the east all the way to Jerusalem and then go to Bethlehem and worship the little child. They didn't worship Mary, they worshiped Jesus. There was an old man named Simeon and his wife Anna at the there at the temple. They got the message, but all the rest of the world, those who should have known, didn't get it. And I find it the same way today. People in church and that read their Bible, most of you get it. You know. But out in the society around you, ask people, what is Christmas? We live in a unique area, the Bible Belt. Many of the people know. I mean, they know it's the birth of Christ. But folks, you get away from here not very far, and they don't get it. And most of the world do not really get what Christmas is all about. I admit something to you. I never thought about this a great deal in my life. I cannot remember a time in my life, and I can remember back to some very early times in my childhood. I remember one instance when I was just not quite 4 years old. My little brother was born. I remember that. We went to California. I remember 1955. Y'all doing a little math? I was born in 1947. In 1955, my family lived in Northern California. They had moved out there so Dad could go to work and live out there. We lived in Redwood Forest and all that. But anyway, I remember 1955 because that's the year we got a television. 1955, and it was sometime after that, I don't know the exact year, they had this special program on TV. We just got one channel, black and white. And they had the Disney program. Well, there was nothing more exciting to a little child than to watch a Disney program. And they put on a program called The Little Drummer Boy. I mean, remember the song, you know, you've heard the song, Little Drummer Boy. The reason I'm telling the story is I remember it so vividly, sitting in front of that TV. And it was a puppet, the little drummer boy. It was the original. He was as a puppet. And all he had, it was at the birth of Jesus. And he didn't have anything but a drum. And he played a song for that little baby. And as far back as I can remember, I got that message in that song. I understood that message at a very young time in my life when I was only 7 or 8 years old. The little drummer boy was a poor boy. He didn't have anything. He didn't have wealth. He didn't have gifts or to exchange or anything like that. But someone had given him a drum. His parents had given him a drum. And he had learned to play on that drum a tune. And so he came to that little baby Jesus, and he didn't have anything to give him. The Magi had all of those expensive gifts, you know, and from God to give him, and other people came and worshiped him, and that little drummer boy didn't have anything but the drum, so he played that little song. Boom, boom. I've loved that song ever since. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs because of the message. He didn't have things to give to baby Jesus. But what God had given him, he gave back in worship. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus is not interested in getting our toys and our material things. He doesn't need our money. He lets it give it in the church because he uses it to bless others, you know, to go out and, boy, we always lift up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and things like that because all of that's given, you know, to be a blessing to missionaries and to help them on the field and all that. All that's wonderful. But every single one of you have a gift from God that you are to give back to Him in worship. All the time. That's the message I got from that little drummer boy. It has remained my favorite song from the time that I was a little child. And boy, I got a lot of favorite songs. Oh, this song they played on the piano. It's more recent. Mary, did you know? Whoever wrote that song knew Jesus. Wow, that song gives me cold chills. You know, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Only those who really know the Lord Jesus really get the meaning of Christmas, is what I want to say. Enjoy the family, the food, the shopping, the gifts. You know, I'm not an old stick in the mud. We have a Christmas tree. We don't celebrate the Christmas tree. I know the pagan ancestry of it. I know all that. I've studied all that. I just don't let it enter my mind. I don't think about all that. And, you know, but and the flowers and the lights and all of those things. I like those things. But they don't rob me of what Christmas is all about. I know what Christmas is all about, but so many people don't. So many people really miss Christmas. To miss Christ in a relationship with Him is really to miss the meaning of Christmas. Don't ever let someone tell you that, well, Christmas is just a holiday celebration. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ and nothing else. That's what it is. It is the celebration of the birth of Christ. And who is Christ? The Son of God. He's God the Son. Come into this world 2,000 years ago. Now, let me share just a handful of people here in these verses, in this story. And it'll kind of jump around all over the place. But just stay right here. People who miss Christmas. Isn't this a wonderful story? It's so humble. Mary and Joseph. Mary is just a young girl. She must have been a wonderful girl. She was not perfect. She needed a Savior just like everyone else. Don't let anyone tell you different. But God, all the millions and millions of young ladies who ever lived on this earth, God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. God impregnated her with His Holy Spirit, put the seed of God in her. It was truly a virgin birth. A miraculous birth, never repeated in any other way, very unique. Mary did not remain a virgin. She had children after Jesus. God chose her. We don't know much about Joseph, do we? But God chose him to be the adoptive father of His Son. He must have been a special man. Isn't it interesting that very, very little is known about Joseph? We actually only see him at the birth of Christ and one other time when Jesus was a boy. And we never hear him again. He's not there at the crucifixion. We really just don't know what happened to him. He just kind of disappeared off the scene. We assume that he probably died, but that's an assumption. We don't know that. But isn't it interesting that at the birth of Jesus, there was a man named Joseph there to care for him in the world and to bring him in into the world. And at the crucifixion and death of Jesus, there was another man, a different man named Joseph, who took the body of Jesus and cared for Him. And we don't ever hear about Him anymore either, do we? But you see, all attention is to be directed to Jesus and who He is. Some people just missed it completely. First person I'll mention on the list, and I have about five, and I can stretch this out and finish it tonight if I have to, is the innkeeper. We don't know his name. Not important that we knew. They came to this inn. By the way, the inn probably had a name. Now, it's not named in Scripture, but in the Old Testament, there was a servant named Chinham. C-H-I-M-H-A-M. You don't have to look that up, but it's in the Old Testament. He was a servant of King David. And the Bible tells us over in Jeremiah, I think, 41, that he was from near Jerusalem. And he was a servant of David, and at some time in the history of Israel there in the Old Testament, an inn was built there in Bethlehem. He was from near Bethlehem, I said Jerusalem, but near Bethlehem. And that inn was called Chinham's Inn, named after him. That's probably where they went. The innkeeper was over that place. And it was a time to pay taxes, and all of those people had to come back to where their parents had been born there. And as the Bible tells us, Joseph and Mary's parents were from Bethlehem, because that's where King David was from. He was a shepherd boy from there, and they were descended from him. Both Mary and Joseph were descended, I believe, anyway, from King David. one through Solomon, one through Nathan. But anyway, there they found themselves in the inn, but there was no room. All of the people had come to the Bethlehem, those that were originally from there, because that's where it was listed in the records they were from, and they had to come there to pay their taxes. They had some kind of role there to pay their taxes. You can imagine what a great booming economical time it was for the innkeeper. Man, I mean, he just filled up his building. He was collecting money from people that come from all around to stay there. Mary and Joseph traveled all the way from Nazareth. You know, we read that in the scripture, unless you do a little research or ever been there, you wouldn't even get that. And I've been there several times. From Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 75, almost 80 miles as the crow flies. And you couldn't travel then as the crow flies. You had to go around about way. They probably traveled at least, this is a safe estimate, at least 100 miles, if not a little more, to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It would have taken them at least 3, maybe 4 or 5 days. We assume that she rode on the back of a donkey and that Joseph led her down there. And she was just a young girl, heavy with child. And they had come a long way, and they go into the inn. And that man evidently he doesn't have any room. But here's this young girl. Couldn't you make room with this young girl who's pregnant and going to have a baby? There was no room. No room at all. And so he had to put her out in what we sometimes refer to a stable or a barn. And, you know, probably it was a cave, that because that was the normal thing there. Been there many times on the slopes of Jerusalem. They don't have trees and lumber all over the place. They don't have any. And it's made out of limestone, and I've been in many of those caves. You can put 30 sheep in one and crawl over into another and put another 30 sheep over there. That's where they put their sheep in the wintertime. They kept them there, and they fed them on the grass on the slopes of Bethlehem. And it was probably in a cave like that, very near the inn, where they kept the animals of all the people who came into the inn. And I've been in that cave there many times. And you go down in that cave, and a manger in New Testament days, in the Middle East, you know, it's not made out of boards. It's a stone feeding trough. It's just a stone of lime that's been carved out, and they put the hay in that. That's probably what Jesus was laid in. But all of those little details evidently are not that important. The Bible says a manger, which was a stone feeding trough. But Jesus was born in very humble surroundings. Almost unnoticed, the innkeeper missed the whole thing. I don't know what he knew about the Bible, but he was probably so busy with the economy of his business, making a living, he completely missed the birth of Christ right under his nose. And a lot of people today miss out on salvation, they miss out on the meaning of Christ, they miss out on Christianity. I've heard them, if they told me once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Preacher, I don't have time to go to church. I'm too busy making a living. I got to work for a living. All you preachers do is go up there and preach on Sunday. Don't do anything else the rest of your life. I got to work for a living. I've heard it for 40 years. Not going to church, too busy. And I want to tell you something. You don't have to live, but you have to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, make your living and support your family. The Bible teaches that. Make preparation for death because it is appointed. Don't get so busy wrapped up in the things of this world, making money and making a living, that you push Christ out to the shed. He has no part of your life. You're too busy living and fail to make preparation to die. As a minister, that seems to be about mostly what I've always dealt with. Death. Called a preacher, somebody died. Preach a sermon over the life of some person, they died. And I try to, every time I do that, I try to remind everybody out there, you're coming to this place too. Yeah, me and all of us. It is appointed and a man wants to die. And when that happens, what does whatever you did in this world matter unless you have committed your life to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Folks, after you die, you just don't go floating out into la-la land. You either go to heaven or hell. One or the other. You say, well, I don't believe that. The instant you die, you will know how wrong you were. And it's too late. You need to know that when you were conceived, your soul is eternal from there on. And when your body dies, you're going to live forever. Don't get so wrapped up in the things that we think are so important into this world that we miss out on Christ. I couldn't help but notice that the past couple of weeks. And some of the things I'm going to say is not to be critical. I like football games. I was all wrapped up in a little local team down here buying football. And then they got beat. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody just, just so down, you know. And then somebody dies. And now you forget about the little football game. You got to deal with that. You know, somebody else, a young man, takes his life, and you got to deal with that family. And then a tornado hits, and that kind of, you know, everybody is standing around waiting for OU to play Texas, and then the tornado comes. Some of the people said, you know, we got to go somewhere there's electricity so we can watch that ball game. And I listened to all that. I mean, really, that was the most important thing to a lot of those folks. And you know what? Maybe in some ways, that's kind of a good thing. It's a distraction to get you away from all that. But what if you'd have got blown away and you'd have been dead? Who wins the ball game? No matter then. I want you to know, God doesn't have a favorite team in heaven. I'm sorry to say that, but He don't. I mean, I do, but God doesn't. What I'm saying is there's so many things in this life that can distract us from Christ. But when it comes down to you personally, and you've got a real tragedy in your life. Your grandson is dead because he took his life. Or someone else in your family or your child, you know, and something really bad happens. All of a sudden, all those little trimmings around the world doesn't matter anymore. Do you know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet Him? The innkeeper missed out on it because he was just too busy making a living. There's someone else I'm going to mention to you here this morning that missed Christmas, and that was King Herod. Now, King Herod is known as Herod the Great. He was a great builder. He built so many things before Christ. He rebuilt the temple some 20-something years before Christ came. He built the city of Caesarea, a great unnatural harbor there on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, just north up the coast of Tel Aviv today. And there he was. He was a great builder. He did those things. And he built a city on top of a hill called Herodium. And he was known as Herod the Great. He was one of the most wicked, evil men that ever walked this earth. He was a vile man, and he was, I believe, for a moment anyway, he was completely possessed of Satan because he had such a hatred for anyone who was a threat to his personal throne. He even had his favorite wife killed. He had one of his sons killed. Anybody, an uncle, anybody that was a threat to his position, he just had them murdered. This same Herod is the one who had the little babies of Bethlehem put to death because he was trying to get rid of that one person. How could anyone dare say, one born king of the Jews, when the Magi came looking for him? They used that phrase, where is one born king of the Jews? You can just see the ire rise up in the Herod. What do you mean, king of the Jews? I'm king of the Jews. And so he veiled that and said, oh, I want to know all about him. I want to come and worship him. Please tell me where he was born. Of course, we all know what he had in his heart. He wanted to murder that little one. Why? Because that little baby was a threat to his throne. And the number one reason that people don't get saved is because salvation, receiving Christ, is a threat to your throne of you doing what you want to do. You know who's on the throne of your life if you're not saved? Self is. Self. I admit to you, I didn't get saved when I was 30. I wish I would have got saved a lot earlier. But I can't undo that. I wish I would have given my life to the Lord when I was 3 or 4 years old or whenever it was that I could have been saved. But I didn't. And I know why I didn't. I know why I didn't. Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I thought, well, my goodness, if you're a Christian, you have to go to church every Sunday. Bleh. Hate that. And the Baptist said you couldn't even go out and dance. That wasn't no fun. Couldn't party. Couldn't have fun. And I wanted to do what I wanted to do. The number one reason that people refuse, and they refuse to get saved, because they don't want to give up the throne of their life to someone else, to Jesus. You know what the sin is? The sin that is unpardonable? It's a sin of unbelief. You know why people go to hell? Not because of the horrible things they do, but because of what they don't do. Surrender their life to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your personal life. That's the unpardonable sin. Herod was that kind of a man. He was an evil man, full of the devil, full of Satan, full of self. He was preoccupied with self. What will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Herod died a horrible death. It's well recorded how he died. His whole body was just eat up with disease and all kinds of venereal diseases because of the immoral life that he lived. His body was eat up because he was filled with hate and envy and greed, and he lived to be 70 something odd years old, and his body just stunk so bad that nobody could even come around him when he was about to die. I mean, he died a horrible death, and the man died and went out into eternity and went to hell, not realizing till it was too late that little baby died for his sins. But no, he was too preoccupied with self. Let me give you someone else who missed Jesus. I got about 5 of these. I may have to share the rest of them tonight. The religious crowd that should have known all about Jesus missed out on Jesus. The scribes, the Pharisees, those who knew the scriptures. They were so preoccupied with Bible trivia that they missed who the Bible was all about. The Bible's about Jesus. Tonight, if you'll come back, I believe I'll start right there and continue this message tonight. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which speak of me." The Bible's all about Jesus. If you read all of the Bible and miss Jesus, you missed out. You missed what it's all about. I love reading the Old Testament. It's all foreshadows the work of Christ. The Old Testament tells us someone's coming. The Gospels say he has come. His name is Jesus. The rest of the Bible says he's coming again. And he is. He's coming again. Don't miss out. Don't be so religious that you miss the personal relationship with Jesus. I want you to stand this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the song leader and musicians come forward. Let this month, if it hasn't already, remind us of what Christmas time is all about. And if you are a child of God, you can really celebrate. I mean, it is a time of celebration. It's a time to be thankful no matter what our circumstances are like. If you don't know Christ, something's missing in your life. There's that emptiness there. You've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You can do that right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. Just say, "Oh God, forgive me. I am a sinner. But I believe Jesus died for my sins. Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be the Lord of my life. And thank you, Lord Jesus. You can pray that prayer right where you are and mean it in your heart between you and God. We're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment. I want us to begin now. Some of you are still in prayer. That's all right. If you may, you can look up and join in the singing and celebrate that you know Jesus.